Would you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 10, please? We cannot determine how the things or person is going to finish their life or process by looking at the beginning of that person or process. But the beginning is still very important, because if that person have a good personal process started well, that's ahead of a game over other people or other things. Yes, I know that some people start well and finish horribly. And some people start horribly and finish very well. Good start does not guarantee the good ending. We all know that. Now, we're going to meet the two kings here. You can call them Boaz brothers. One is Jeroboam, who is the king of the northern kingdom, Israel. And Rehoboam is the king of the southern kingdom, Judah. In my opinion, they have one common thing. Even though they hated each other, there's one common thing. They both started their kingship in the wrong way. Let's learn from this people's mistake, this people's sin, so we may not do the same thing. Let's stop and pray. Father, your word said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How often we forget, how often we take for granted of your love, how often we think that we deserve, as a profound philosopher Jerry Hamby said, when we enjoy the right to, privilege too much, we consider it as a right. Father, let us never think that it is our right to be your child, or your children. Rather, it's an honor and privilege throughout eternal life. Always looking unto you, always remembering the blessed hope we get from you. Father, teach us tonight through this two kings example that we may honor you with our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 10, verse 4, please. We have a lot of text to cover, so stay with me, please. Your father made our yoke very heavy. Now, therefore, the lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us. We will serve you. So he, that is Rehoboam, said to them, the people who came to him, come back to me after 3 days. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, saying, how do you advise me to answer these people? Then they spoke to him, saying, if you are kind to these people and please them, and speak a good word to them, they will be your servant forever. Verse 8. But he rejected the advice which the elder had given him, and consulted the young man who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then young man who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to the people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you made it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put the heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you whips, but I will chastise you with the scourges. So Jeroboam and all the people, at this point Jeroboam is not a king yet, all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. Then the king answered them roughly. King Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders, and he spoke to them according to the advice of young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, But I will add to it, and my father chastised you with a whip, and I will chastise you with the scourges. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of the event was from God. Please note that the Lord might fulfill his word, which he had spoken by the hand of Ahijah, Shilonite, to the Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The elders of the king knew that Rehoboam was not the same caliber as the King Solomon. He did not have what it took, and top of all, he did not have a wisdom, and he did not have a way to communicate with the people. Rehoboam is nothing, in my opinion, nothing more than rich spoiled brat who was born with a diamond spoon in his mouth. The reason why I didn't say silver spoon in his mouth, because during the Solomon's time, remember, silver was considered nothing. See, here, he was a sure acted like a spoiled brat, rich brat. He had already rejected good advice from the elder before he even asked the same question to the peers. In his mind, he made up his mind. This is a common phenomenon today, not just today, even before, known as advice shopping or counsel shopping. The idea is that you keep asking different people for advice until you find someone who will tell you what you want to hear. And this is an unwise and ungodly way to get counsel. It's better to have a few trusted and godly counselors around you who will tell you what you need to hear from the Lord, not what you like to hear from the Lord. Not from the Lord, not necessarily. So it is better for you to have a good counselors. Sometimes I and our church elders are approached by some of the people in our congregation, or who used to be in the congregation, and let me make an example, marital problem. Wife or husband come alone or call alone and saying, we are having this kind of problem. So usually we tell them, then come and get the marital counseling, both of you. They don't like to hear that portion, because what do you mean, both of us? You don't trust my representation of myself and our situation? Of course not, because there's always two sides of story. Do not take the word from the one person. Remember, there's the other side of the coin. And they will look for the answer who will tell them, go do whatever you want to do. They can get that answer from the unbelievers. The young men whom the Rehoboam conferred with probably were the sons of many sons of Solomon, whom he grew up with. Think about it, guys. These are another princes. Would they willing to give up their luxurious living? That means because there's not enough text to go around? No, of course not. It's a matter of the living luxurious or the going into the belt, tightening their belt. They don't want to do that, so that's why they give this kind of advice. When we seek the Lord for His counsel, we should not come to His presence thinking that we can convince Him to do the things that what we want Him to do. Rather, we should come to Him with an open mind to receive whatever He has for us, including the things that we don't like to hear. In this case, Rehoboam clearly should have listened to his elders and the people. This is not to say the leaders should always listen to the people and do what they want, but the leader should have a wisdom to know what the people want and what is best for them. Now, Rehoboam was the foolish successor that Solomon talked about. Go to the Ecclesiastes chapter 2, please. Chapter 2, verse 18. I know it's not the frequent book we all confer. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. That is Rehoboam, verse 19. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have sown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. All right. Listen, God managed this whole event. God managed the whole event, but he didn't make Rehoboam to take this foolish decision, make the foolish decision, and to divide the kingdom. Let me put it this way. He simply left Rehoboam to do alone so he can do whatever he chooses to do. Did you follow that? If God doesn't guide people, we will pretty much destroy ourselves. Anyone disagree with that? No, of course not. Because that is exactly what we would do. So he was making critical errors, and his sinful heart wanted to make. And it's a very important lesson for all of us to learn. Never to do the things that God, the Lord, is not guiding us to do. It's a recipe for a disaster. If God is telling you to do something, you follow. If God is not in it, don't go there, no matter how attractive that is. Chapter 11, please, verse 13. And from all their territories, the priests and Levites who were in all Israel took their stand with him. For the Levites left their common land and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them from serving as a priest to the Lord. Then he appointed himself, that's Jeroboam, appointed himself priest for high place for what? Demons, yes, and the calf idols which he had made. And after the Levites left, those from the old tribe of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. Per the Lord's command, of course, through Moses, Levites and priests were allowed to live in every tribe throughout the entire country. And that means they could live in the Dan, they could live in the tribe of Benjamin, anywhere. They designated with the common land, they could stay there. The reason is that by doing so, all these tribes could learn how to worship God properly. They taught the Word of God, the Old Testament Word, the commandment, and they learned how to follow God. Now when the king of northern kingdom, they departed from the Lord who allowed him to be a king. And they saw the writing on the wall for his rejection of the Lord. They didn't want to be a part of his rejection of the Lord, so they left that place. Think about it. What it would take. You know, in America, people don't even want to go to church if it rains in Seattle. They will come up with any excuse. Well, I think there is some windy. Look at the palm trees moving. So they choose not to go to church. But these people were willing to uproot everything they had, go to the place where they could serve God. After the Levites left the northern kingdom to migrate to the southern kingdom, now, those who were left over in the northern kingdom, guess what? Jeroboam got nothing but the people who didn't want to follow God. He got nothing but the ungodly people. It is no wonder why we don't find anything godly in the Northern Kingdom, with the exception of a few prophets, God's prophets. Good example is Elijah and Elisha at that time, and Isaiah. Look what the Jeroboam did with the help of ungodly people. It's a parallel verse is located in 1 Kings chapter 12, please. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem, in the mountain of Ephraim, and dwelt there. He went out from there and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer the sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of these people will turn back to their Lord Jeroboam, the king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore, king asked advice, made the two calves of gold, and said to the people, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel. They brought you up from the land of Egypt.' And he set up one in the Bethel, and the other he put in Dan." Note that word, Dan. "But these things became sin, and for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made a shrine on the high place and made a priest from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi." Only the sons of Levi could priest. This picture was taken while we were in Israel. This is a Dan, northern side of the Israel. This place is a temple site Jeroboam built. Not very big, you can tell by the size of people. And this was the altar area, little horn that representing power of God, supposedly. Anyway, this is the place that they built, and they had the golden calf here. You don't need to go down to Jerusalem. Here's a temple. Here's the God whom you can see tangibly and touch tangibly. And also, best part of these gods are something you can manage. It's the God whom you can manage, not the God who will manage your life. You with me on that? He built a couple of places, competing temple with the idols and Bethel and Dan, so it was his people didn't have to go down to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. He did everything to make the idol worship easy. Remember what I told you before? There's one thing worse than going to hell. Is taking somebody with you. Actually, somebody dragging somebody with you to hell. That's exactly what Jeroboam did. Please note what kinds of choices Jeroboam provided for the people in the kingdom. Worshipping the demons and the golden calf idol. Your mind already running to the Exodus 32, as soon as I mentioned about the golden calf, where the Israelites demanded Aaron to make a golden calf while Moses was in Mount Sinai, so that this golden calf would lead him back to the Egypt where they were slaves, which they somehow forgot conveniently. In their mind, they had a good time. So we have that same phrase, right? Good old days. Was it really good old days when you were not a Christian? Not to me. While they were in Egypt, they saw the Egyptians worshipping their golden calf idol. Instead of believing they were true Jehovah God, Israel adopted their worshipping the golden calf like an Egyptian. And even though these Israelites saw that what their God could do against the mighty Egyptian army, they'd rather trust their future with this miserable idol. To them, it was their God, something they could manage. That was exactly what the Jeroboam provided, full-blown demonic worship to please their demonic mindset. Or, if that's too much, fleshly religion with a sprinkle of a God concept to tickle their conscience. How convenient for them. They can pick and choose. You know what? It's the exact same. There is no greater danger than for the people to cast off all the restraint and do whatever seems right in their own eyes. I'm sure that you have noticed that nowadays everything and anything is a go. And from the injustice in the courtroom to the adultery in the people's inner room, and from the Capitol Hill's backroom dealing to the crack house dealing, everybody is doing whatever pleases them. Go to the Proverbs chapter 14, please. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is what? Way of death. Exactly. You see, the desire of most people is for religion that is convenient, not too costly, close enough to the real Christian faith to be comfortable for the conscience. We live in today the age when the people's choice religion is popular, approved, and accepted. So when you talk to somebody about the true faith in Jesus Christ, what do they say? That's not how I interpret the Bible. Or that's not how I believe the Bible. Or that's not how I know the Bible. Does it matter how we accept, how we interpret, and how we know the Bible? Bible says what it means, right? And that's what, this is the voice of God. God's voice does not change. The word, how many of you guys remember the word God relent in the book of Jonah? Or in the Old Testament, God relent. Some of your version might say God repent. That's a horrible translation. Do you know that? Even the relent is horrible translation. There's one good translation. I believe it was a new... What's the latest one that we carry? No, not that one. The other one. New Living Translation, I believe. God had a compassion on them. That's better translation. Let's set the boundary. Does God sin or not? Okay, so he cannot repent, right? Does God know future things or not? He always knows everything. So how can he change his mind when he already knows the way what he's going to do? That's the problem with the English that lost in translation. I like the way the New Living Translation says God had a compassion on them. Make a good example, Ninevite. When they turned their heart toward God, when they repented, it said in New King James, God relent. No, it should be God had a compassion on them. All right, this time chapter 12 in the Second Chronicle, please. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now it came to pass when the Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, and for he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel along with him. And it happened in the fifth year of the king Rehoboam, and Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. Because, by the way, go back to verse 1. Note that, had strengthened himself that he forsook the law of the Lord. That's the reason why God allowed to have, let the verse 2 happen. Verse 3, 12,000 chariots, considered the 12,000 tanks, and 60,000 horsemen, and people without number who came with him out of Egypt, Reuben and the Sukkim, sounds like a Korean person's name, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fortified city of the Judah and came to Jerusalem. And Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the leaders of the Judah, who were gathered together in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said to them, Thus says the Lord, I want you to note this word, you have forsaken me, therefore I also have left you in the hand of Shishak. So the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. I want you to pay attention to their answer. Now when the Lord saw they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, and saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, and I will grant them some deliverance. My wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by the hands of Shishak. Nevertheless, they will be his servant, and they may distinguish my service from the service of the kingdom of the kingdoms of the nations. Rehoboam walked away from the Lord when he was strong and secure, and he trusted in God when he was in need. As long as he was in need, he trusted God. Now he grew, he became strong, he became independent from God, and instead of being dependent on Him. We may now say to the Rehoboam and say, hey, that's wrong. You should be dependent on God all the time. Really? How many of us would be dependent on Him, ask Him for His guidance, if we are financially, emotionally, independent? Let me say one more time. If you have millions of dollars in your if you have millions of dollars cash in your home and your checking account, would you ask for daily bread? If you go live paycheck to paycheck, you depend on God. Ask God to provide what we need. But if you have that kind of money, would you ask God to provide what we need? You know, some people can handle the wealth. Hear me, please. There are more dangers in the midst of prosperity than poverty. Because during the time of need, lives become simpler. And we have a time and mindset to trust our Lord and rely on the Lord for His provision. But when we have a plenty, we tend to think that, oh, look what I have. Like a King Nebuchadnezzar, he was walking on top of his roof. Look what I have built in Babylon. Or the Nabal, the fool, the wife of Abigail. Look what I have. He didn't get it. David protected it for him. King Shishak of Egypt was the same person. You may see the different spelling, so you think that he's a different person. In Egyptian name is a Shishank, and he's probably most energetic pharaoh in that history. The Lord used this Egyptian king to punish the Rehoboam because he was a backslidden follower of God. Keep in mind what the Lord said to the Rehoboam in verse 5, please. Last portion of verse 5. You have forsaken me, therefore I have left you in the hand of Shishak. See, this was the correction that matched the offense. If the Judah insisted forsaking God, they would find themselves forsaken in the day of their needs. The great danger of telling God is that, leave me alone, and is that someday He may just answer their prayers. Remember, our country has been pushing God out of courtroom and schoolroom, so we get the injustice in the courtroom, and we have a dropout in the schoolroom. And trying to God push you out of the America, God says, you want me to leave you alone? Okay, have it your way. I like their response to the Lord's chastisement in verse 6. They said, the Lord is what? Righteous. In other words, they not only acknowledge God's righteousness, but also their own unrighteousness, as well as a sinfulness. And also, at the same time, they acknowledge that their sin deserves the punishment. So when God handed out their punishment, they accepted it. Which means they becoming the slaves of the King Shishak. Two applications. Number one, never to do the things that the Lord is not guiding us to do. It is the recipe for a disaster. If God is not in it, don't do it. Remember, God fed up with the Israelis, and He told Moses, you go ahead and go to the promised land, the land of Canaan, where it flows with the milk and honey. I will send the angel with you. You know what Moses said? If you do not go, we don't go. If you go, we will go. Remember the song that we sang? I'm trying to make the elders sing. I will follow you by Chris Tomlin's song. That song came out from this verse. Second application. Don't look for convenience in our spiritual walk. Look for obedience to the Lord. Instead of convenience, obedience. Man-made worship is always more convenient and appealing than following the commandment of the Lord. But man-made worship is always a snare to the people who follow it. Amen?